picture of salvation, the blood of the Lamb had to be shed. The blood of the Lamb had to be put on the doorpost of their house, meaning that it's a picture of our spirit. And the blood has to be applied. And in that process of receiving Christ as Savior, we are saved. And then Israel was to go into the wilderness, and in the wilderness they learned how to respond to God. They learned how to be obedient to Him. They learned what God wanted. They found the plan of God. And once we get saved, that's what we do. We get in church, we get under the teaching of the Word of God, and we learn God's plan. And God's plan is very simply this: learn to be obedient to Him and then go into what was called then the Promised Land. The Promised Land is our soul. And so they were to go into the Promised Land and clear the land of giants. The giants were demonic spirits and sin that accumulated over 400 years in the land. They were to go in and to defeat these giants, and to the extent that they defeated the giants, they would then be able to plant in the land. Now, the land is our soul. The land is our soul, not our spirit, not our body, our soul. We are to go in after we're saved in the power of God and clean out everything in our soul that would hinder what God wants to do in our life. Now, to the extent that we do this in the power of God, then we will be able to become and do the assignment that God has for us on this earth. Now, Israel made a mistake. They compromised with some of the enemy and therefore have never really reached as a nation what God wants them to be. They will in the future, because Jesus is going to come and they're going to cleanse that land for sure, and they then will be the number one nation in the world as God designed for them to be in the first place. But the issue is, we're to go into the land of our life, our soul, in the power of God, clean out everything that's not like Jesus, and then get His special assignment for each one of us, because we all have special assignments. We have talents, gifts of the Spirit, and things of those natures that God gives us as individuals to do individual things in this life. And when we have completed that process, then we'll be ready to be with the Lord in heaven. So that's generally the plan of God. Be saved, be obedient to God, clean your life up, your soul up, and then do what God's called you to do. That's the plan for this life. When we complete that, God is then ready to take us in to be with Him, whether it's on heaven and earth, and it'll be both places, over a period of time. Now, the picture of taking the land, and that's what I've been talking about for about 3 or 4 weeks now. How do you take the land of your life? And we're finally going to get to that place today. How do you do that? But before you do it, I think you have to understand what these giants are that we are to defeat, like David defeated Goliath and so forth. There are giants in our life that we are to defeat. And I want you to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Get your Bibles out. We're going to be looking at our scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 10 and verse 3. Now this talks about the problem. Okay, that we all have. How do the giants get in your life in the first place? Well, they come in before we're saved in various continuous sins that we did that allows the giants in. These giants are demonic spirits. You say, well, surely there's not such a thing today. Jesus spent a fourth of His ministry casting out these spirits. And we're not any different today. Because we allow these things to come in before we're saved. Sometimes we sin after we're saved. Sometimes they come in generational sins, generational curses. We talked about that. And sometimes they come in just because we live in a fallen world. It's kind of like you sleep with a dog that's got fleas. Some of them are going to jump on you. It's just that simple. And being in this old fallen dark world without Christ, things just happen sometimes. And so we need to know, number one, that this is possible, and number two, how do we get rid of it? Because these spirits can only come in if we open the door, or the door was opened through our ancestors. We've talked about that. I've taught on it. If you didn't hear all the messages, get them. I think they're only a dollar a piece, and there's, I think, four or five of them, including today. So, let's look now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now what that tells us, whatever you focus on in your thinking, whatever you focus on in your imagination, that actually is what you're going to become over a period of time. Somebody said, what you speak out of your mouth is what you are. It's what you focus on in your life. Are you focusing on the things of God? Are you focusing on things of the world? Is your imagination and your mind constantly filled with things that are not like Christ? That's what we're talking about. If you're constantly focusing on something not like Christ, it is called a stronghold in verse 4. Or it's called imaginations in verse 5. We actually believe what we think in our mind and what we say out of our mouth. So if we think one thing and say something else, there's something wrong someplace. Somebody said, whatever you say out of your mouth is what you believe. So if you're constantly complaining and constantly criticizing and constantly putting people down and constantly looking at the negative side and speaking those things, that means there's something wrong in your mind and your imagination. And so, well, we need to defeat these things. If the only time you think about Christ is on Sunday, there's something wrong in your life. If you say you know Christ and never think about Him and never get in your Bible, there's something wrong with that. It's probably not true. So we need to get into these things, seek these things, find out what this is all about. And then on top of all of that, if we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, I want to show you another problem we have to deal with today, and that is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This I know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. Now look at this. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. They'll be self-centered, loving themselves, not caring about anybody else. You know anybody like that? The Bible predicts in the day we're living now, this is going to be true. They'll have a stronghold in their mind. They'll only care about themselves. They won't care about anybody else. And so, and it says, they will be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Now listen to that. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. What is that? Those are strongholds that the enemy can use to keep you from being what God wants you to be in this life. That's the issue. So it's a serious issue. It goes on today. It can happen in your life and mine. Now, let's go back to Joshua now in the Old Testament. He's going to go in and take the land. And so we need to look at this and see what he did. I've already covered quite a bit of it. Go to Joshua chapter 6 and verse 18. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 18. Now, they're getting ready to go in and take the land. The land's full of giants. The giants are demonic spirits of God in the people of the land. And in every way, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. When you take of the cursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it, but all the silver, gold, vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, they shall come into the treasury. So what that says is, keep taking in the things of your life and don't keep taking in the things of the world. If all you do is listen to the news, you're going to be the most negative person that anybody ever heard in an entire life. Because it's all negative. That's what the news is. It's supposed to be. People love negative stuff. And so that's what the news is. They give the people what they want. And if they can't find something in Rockford, they'll go someplace else and find it. You know, if there isn't a catastrophe here, they'll find one in New York City. And they'll blast your ears with that stuff. And you have to come to the place will you tune out the things of the world and tune in the things of God, because our destiny is heaven, not this lost world. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Yes. Now, so I'm telling you how to... Now, what is the gold, silver, and precious stones? I mentioned it last time. Gold is all the things directed by the Holy Spirit through you. Everything God can do through you is gold. God said, hang on to those things. Reserve them for me. The silver is always remember what Christ has done and what he's going to do. I always think back, every once in a while I think back to the Sunday night that I was saved. That was the most exciting time in my life and still is. You know, and I go back to that, and I thank the Lord for it, and I praise him for it. But I'm also looking forward to a wedding, hallelujah. I'm looking forward to what's going to happen in the future. When I got saved that night, God put a ring on my finger. You know what that ring was? It had two things. It had a crown of thorns, and it had a cross on it. Crown of thorns and a cross. And God was telling me, it's not going to be easy, but we're going to win in the end. And I'm looking forward to that time, the wedding ceremony with God. I'm looking forward to the angels being there and the music and the praise going up to God. And it's going to be a wonderful thing. And if I'm going to focus my mind on anything, it's going to be those things. Are you listening to me? That's the silver in life. God said, hang on to the silver. And then there's the bronze. And the picture is very simply, the judgment of God's either going to be on you or it's going to be on Jesus. Are you listening? You're either going to let Jesus take the judgment or you're going to have to take the judgment. You have to make a decision to choose whether or not you're going to receive God as your Savior. Works will not do it. It has to be the works of Jesus that we are to hang on to. And then the iron. And this is what so many Christians miss. What's the iron? The Bible says if you rub two pieces of iron together, it's going to sharpen both of them. Are you listening to me? That's the relationships you have. The relationships with your family, the relationships with your mate, the relationship with your kids, the relationship with other Christians, the relationships you have, those things will follow you to heaven if they are in Christ. Are you listening to me? God said these are the things to hang on to in your life. The rest of it doesn't really mean anything. It's all temporary, but not the gold, the silver, the bronze, and the iron. What you suffer for Jesus will go with you to heaven. Are you listening to me? What God can do through you will go with you to heaven. And the relationships you have in Christ and those that you talked about Jesus with and those things, because God wants you and me to love Him and to love people. And that's what you're going to take to heaven. Criticizing people, putting people down, none of that stuff is ever going to help, mean anything, come to anything. It can only bring you down. And if you hang on to these other things, that's what God wants to do. Now, I want to go on today, and I'm going to explain how to get rid of these giants in the land, because everybody has them to some extent or another. Nobody's exempt. This is a problem. If you ever wonder why somebody gets saved, they say, 20 years ago, and they're the same today as they were then, I can tell you right now, there's giants in the land they didn't deal with. Are you listening to me? These things will hinder your growth in the Lord. They will stop you from growing. I don't care what church you go to or what nation you live in. It doesn't make any difference. There's giants in the land, and you have to deal with these things in your own life and then help people deal with them in their life. Look in Joshua 6 and verse 21. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. We're talking about Jericho. They destroyed all that was in the city, both man, woman, ox, old, and young and old, ox and sheep, ass with the edge of the sword. God told them to go in and destroy all of it. Why was it? Those people had had 400 years to repent and come to God. They refused to do it. They were full of everything from sexually transmitted diseases to every possible degrading thing that you could ever think of. God said, they've crossed the line. You got to destroy it and destroy them. And they went in and destroyed every single one in that city, you see. And because there was no hope, it was over. It was done for them. And if Israel was going to be able to take that land and plant the things of God in it, those things had to be removed. Those people had to be removed. Sometimes there's people in your life that have to be removed. Are you listening to me? When I got saved, I didn't have to worry about it. I started talking so much about Jesus that most of my friends just left me. But God gave me a whole lot more. Are you listening to me? And better. And so the issue is, there's certain relationships sometimes you have to give up. There's even sometimes there's certain families you have to stay away from. Are you listening to me? If they are serving the devil and you're serving Jesus, those two are not to mix. Are you listening to me? It's all right. Jesus is the important one, you see. And we have to make tough decisions sometimes. But these giants are to be destroyed. So in verse 27, he said, go in and destroy everything, even down to the animals, because these people, sorry to tell you this, they had sex with animals and there were diseases every place. And if Israel had come in and lived with those people, they would have got the same thing. Are you listening to me? So there's decisions you have to make. Churches are full of people, and I'm not saying this church, I'm just saying churches in general are full of people who have compromised with sin and therefore have not grown as Christians, and some of them have no longer any spiritual interest in God. You know some of these folks. Come on. I'm not telling you anything new. God said, destroy the work of the enemy in your life. It doesn't happen in 5 minutes. but it happens over a period of time. So everything that we do in the area of sin, moderately, our children and grandchildren will do in excess. You may social drink, they end up being an alcoholic. You say, oh, I'm just social drinking. I you know, it's not a problem. Well, you know, a lot of things we do, the children and grandchildren pay for. Are you listening to me? I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I'm going to tell you how to do something about it. That's the issue. We've all done stupid stuff. You see. Now, so we got to close the door. We got to close the door to unforgiveness. We have to close the door to complaining. Close the door to fear. Close the door to hate. Close the door to rejection. Close the door to the occult. Close the door to immorality. That's not for us. We're to get those giants out of the land, are you listening to me? You see. And that's the issue. Satan's plan is to get you to believe a lie so you're going to feel good even when you're insecure. Satan just wants you to compromise. We got people in Washington today that want to compromise with evil in the world. Are you listening to me? It's not going. Whenever you compromise with evil, guess who's going to win? Absolutely correct. You can't compromise with these things in your life. Oh, I've been doing this for 20 years and it hasn't bothered me. Give me a break. You see, you can't compromise with these things whatsoever. Now I'm going to tell you how to start getting rid of this stuff. And it's three words. Repent. Rebuke. And replace. Repent. Rebuke. Replace. That is the issue with every giant in your life. You see. Now, I'm going to tell you, we're going to start with repent. Now, if somebody comes to Grace and I for counseling or comes to one of us, we give them a questionnaire. And this questionnaire talks about family relationships, talks about personal things, talks about all kinds of things. And these things are, it shows us just from filling out these sheets, where the giants are in the land. So what counseling really is to help people get rid of the giants if they want to. Some people don't want to. I get a kick out of this. Some people say they don't want to get anything personal. What do they think giants in your soul is? You don't get any more personal than that, you see. And so I'm tell you exactly where God wants to bring us to. God is light. He is beautiful light. We will be so amazed at the light around God. We are like a mirror. And when we look at God face to face, when we look at the Lord face to face, the reflection of God comes into us and then goes out to a lost world. What happens in a bathroom when you turn the shower on and leave it on hot for a long time? It fogs the mirror up. Sin and giants fog up the mirror of your life, and you never reflect out to a lost world, and you say, I just don't understand why I never led anybody to Jesus. I'm just going to give you a statement. If you have never led anybody to Jesus Christ and you've been saved for 20 years, your mirror's fogged up. Are you listening to me? Because when you reflect Jesus Christ in a clean mirror, man, he's going to shine into this dark world and people are going to be drawn to the light. Amen? That's exactly the way it is. Now let's get honest. And what is this fogging up of the mirror? The fogging up of the mirror of your life is you've compromised with the giants. You've compromised with the giants. And that's why you draw back, you've lost interest, whatever it is. So what do we have to do? We have to confess our sins. We have to confess our giants to God and to, if necessary, another counselor or another person, whatever it takes. Now, 1 John 1:9, that's why it's in the Bible. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He cleans the mirror of our life so that we will reflect God. You're going to reflect whatever you're doing. I say you're going to reflect whatever you're doing. You're going to reflect whatever you're thinking, whatever you're saying is going to be reflected to the world, you see. And that's why it's necessary. God said, don't leave a person alive, don't leave an animal alive, don't take anything in the place other than those four things. Destroy it all, burn it, because it's all temporary, it's all destructive, you see. Now, so we want to confess the sins of our ancestors. We want to break those curses. We've talked about that already. We got to change our mind about sin. We got to completely turn away from it. And it can be done in Christ. We must make restitution if necessary. And if we have to ask forgiveness of those we have hurt, then do it. If we've hurt somebody, you ask forgiveness, you see. And what the Bible says, if you don't ask forgiveness of those you hurt, God's not going to forgive you. Did I say that? If you don't forgive people you've hurt, how do you expect God to forgive you? We're a reflection of God if we know Him, you see. And then we want to forgive people that's hurt us. This stuff living for 20 years with hurt somebody did back 10 years ago is crazy. It makes no sense. It is destructive. It will mess up your soul. It'll dirty your mirror. You will not progress in this life. I don't know how strongly I have to say that. If you want to hang on that stuff you have, but you've compromised with the enemy of your soul. Now, I'm not preaching to anybody particularly, mostly to myself, but sometimes you have to make restitution. You got to forgive somebody. You're just walking around with a dirty mirror. Can you imagine? Or if you wear glasses, you know what it is to have dirty glasses. You can't see as well. And that's exactly the way it is with people that have compromised with the enemy, compromised with sin, compromised with unforgiveness, compromised with hurt, compromised with fear, compromised with all these things. You're not going to see clearly, and you're going to run into things you didn't want to run into. God wants you clean. God wants you clear. God wants you prepared for what He has. And that's the way this is done. Now, this is called repentance. It means confessing it and turning from it. Confessing it and turning from it. You don't keep doing it. If you do, you open the door and they're going to come back 10 times worse. I've told this story before. I'll tell it again. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just saying there was a lady in this church I know about who had smoked for a long time. She got lung cancer. She came to be prayed for. Listen, we got such a gracious God. We have such a gracious God. You should never be afraid to come to God. I don't care what you've done. And so she came and she wanted prayer for healing. You know, now there's probably some Christian saying there, well, you deserve it. You've been smoking for 20 years. And You know, or are you going to get over there to lay hands on and cast that stupid thing out? Are you listening to me? That's exactly what they did, and she was healed instantly. Six months later, she came back. She hadn't turned from the smoking. She had cancer again. They prayed for her. She died 4 weeks later. The enemy came back 10 times worse. Now, I'm not telling you something just to scare anybody. I'm telling you, this is truth. It comes from the Word of God. The Bible says so. Now, look at some scriptures. We'll look at something here real quick. Matthew 6:14. Matthew 6, hold your finger in Joshua. Go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. And this says, I didn't make this up. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Isn't that what it says? Okay. I'm old enough, I had another birthday. I don't care if somebody gets mad at me. I'm beyond that stage. I'm beyond retirement. I'm beyond everything. You see? So, okay, that's all about repentance. Repentance is confessing it to God and forsaking it. And I'm going to tell you a little something. If you got a giant in the land in that category and you have confessed it to God and you have a hard time forsaking it, get somebody to cast that dumb thing out. Are you listening? Because you've done it so long, an old slimy demonic power has come in and put a stronghold in your body or your mind. I'm just telling you the way it is. You see. All right. Now we go to the second one, and that's rebuke. You got to cast that thing out. If you've opened the door to the enemy, you got to cast the enemy out. It won't go on its own. It doesn't want to go. It likes it there. One thing about demonic spirits, they have to have a body to live in. Angels do not. That's why we do not believe that angels are demonic spirits. I think there's something else. I think they came from the hybrids back in Genesis is where I think they came from. But it doesn't make any difference where they came from. They're bad news. And if you saw those things, you wouldn't want to go near one of those things. Make a cockroach look like a pet. If you understand what I mean. Now, next thing's rebuke. Go to Mark 16 and verse 15. Mark 16 and verse 15. I thought I was going to get this done today. I'm trying. But I can't guarantee it. Okay, Mark 16. Trying to find it myself here. Here we go. All right. Mark 16 and verse 15. And that says, and he said to them, go into all the world, preach. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. And we've already been through this, whether it's part of the Bible or not. It is. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Everybody says, amen, hallelujah. Then it says, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Everybody says, amen, hallelujah. But he that believes not shall be damned. Well, it gets a little quieter. And then these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. I didn't hear one amen. Amen. You see what I'm saying? We are not obedient to Jesus Christ. Instead of casting them out, we live with them. We feed them, throw them a bone every once in a while. You know. And think we can do that and be what God wants us to be, and it's impossibility. There's another one, same thing, Matthew 10, verse 7. We won't read it. You can look at it later. Matthew 10, 7 says very simply, he sent the disciples out, and they were to lead people to Jesus. They were to cast out demons. They were to heal the sick. They were to do all that stuff. We have some weird idea that was for the disciples and not us. What are we? Absolutely correct. We just ignore that. And go on, say, oh, hallelujah, Jesus, and sing praises and do all that stuff, and ignore what he says. So we're to do it in our life, to do it and help other people with it. And if you're not experienced with it, go to somebody that is. And after you close the door, then you command these spirits to leave. Sometimes people come up and we pray for the sick and they're not healed, we don't see anything. Sometimes the reason is they have a spirit of infirmity. And how do you get a spirit of infirmity? Oh my. I'll probably go on vacation after today for who knows how long. You spend 24 hours a day talking about your sickness. Everybody calls on the phone. Well, my lumbago is lumbagoing today. And you spend an hour talking to somebody about your sicknesses. Guess what you're going to have? You're going to have what you say. You're going to have what you speak. My knee may be bothering me, but as far as what I'm going to speak is, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. If I go to the doctor, which I do occasionally, I'm going to say, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Yeah, any of those things I do, I'm going to say, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I'm not going to talk about it all day long. I'm going to go ahead and do what God wants me to do. And I say, thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. And I'll do that until my body is in the grave. I'm going to be thanking the Lord for healing me. Do I hear an amen? What do you want to go around till you're in the grave talking about your sickness? You'll just get to the grave quicker. You know, the Bible talks about this stuff, and Christians just kind of ignore the whole thing, and then they wonder why they have all these problems. I'm not saying now everybody that has sickness over a period of time has a demon. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying it's a very good possibility if it goes on year after year after year after year after year. Now, I realize when you get older, you have more aches and pains. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't help to talk about them and tell everybody about them. Are you listening to me? You see, we're just feeding the giant. And we got to quit that. You can get mad at me if you want to, but if a few people get healed, I'm going to teach the truth. And I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm trying to help you. All right. So we had to repent. We confess our sin. We rebuke the enemy, and the next thing is we replace these things with Christ, the Word of God, the Bible, etc. Now, I'm out of time. I guess I'm gonna have to finish this next time. No, my wife is my time clock. Finish it. All right. Get mad at my wife if you. What can I tell you? Okay. Now the third thing is replace. Replace. You have to replace all this time talking about diseases, all this time listening to the news, all this time I don't say never get any news. I said just don't make a steady diet of it, because you'll want to go out and shoot yourself or something. You know, and that, we know what that is. You see. But some people just feed on that stuff. Now, you got to maintain. You have to be careful about this. You have to be filled with the Spirit of God. You need to ask God for it. You need to keep confessed up. You need to keep listening to God. Don't focus on sin. Don't focus on what happened in the past. I don't care if it was good or bad. Don't focus on it. I don't focus on what happened yesterday. I'm looking to today and what's coming. Hallelujah. I'm looking to the coming of Jesus. You want to be lifted up, or you want to be driven down in the mud? Just think about all the past stuff. I don't care if somebody hit you with a big rock 30 years ago and you're still mad at them. Shame on you. You see, because that's death. And if you're either going to concentrate on life or you're going to concentrate on death, because most people that concentrate in the past make it as an excuse not to do what they should be doing now. That's what they do with it. Let's be honest. We've all done it. I have. You see. And you want to spend time with other Christians. You want to spend time in the Word of God. You want to use the gifts God has given you. And some people don't even know what they are. And I try to teach that occasionally. So you do. Start blessing people. Instead of criticizing people that's got some gift we don't like. Instead of criticizing somebody that got some gift we don't like, and not using yours. You see? I'm just bringing up stuff that's going to be brought up at the throne of God when you get there, if you do. I'd rather take care of it now than deal with it facing Jesus. Okay? Now, I'm not criticizing anybody. I haven't got anybody in mind. Start blessing people. Share Christ with people. Start blessing people. They say, well, they just won't be my friend anymore. Good. I mean, let's quit messing around with people that don't care about God. Find somebody who's got a heart for God. You know, I found this out. If a person doesn't have a heart for God, you could talk to your blue in the face, won't make an ounce of difference. If they have a heart for God, they're going to respond. But somebody says, oh, you know, well, I didn't say stop praying for people. I said don't spend quality time with them if they don't care about God and don't have a heart for it, you see, because it's not going to make any difference. Fill your soul with the things of God, or these spirits are going to come back. I talked about it. That's Matthew 12:43. So look, you can look that up later. Now, one other thing, and I'm going to close quickly as I can. Listen to me carefully. If somebody tells me that they are a Christian, or if somebody tells me that they go to church, I ask them one very simple question. Do you love Jesus now? Do you love Jesus now? If you loved Jesus back 10 years ago and you don't love Jesus now, there's something drastically wrong. If you love somebody, you're going to nurture that love. You're going to take care of that love. You're going to keep blessing them and not cursing them. You are going to cultivate that love. You are going to maintain that love, and I don't care if you've been married 50 years, it ought to be better than it was at the beginning. Whoa, did it not get quiet in here? If you've been married 50 years, it ought to be better now than it was in the beginning. I tell you, I love that little Grace right there more than I ever have. And we've been married almost 19 years now. But it just gets better. You cultivate it. You talk about it. You work on it. You spend time with it. Don't tell somebody you love them and not spend time with them. That's baloney. You're not fooling anybody. There isn't any kind of love that's going to keep going unless you cultivate it, unless you work on it, unless you speak it, unless you do things for the other person. You got to stay close. You got to keep pulling the weeds out of the garden. You got to keep pulling the weeds out of your soul. You got to keep pulling the giants out of the land. You got to keep that land clear or nothing's going to grow. I always talk about my aunt. I always remember her. She's out on the farm, had this garden as big as this room. And I can just see her out there in the heat of the day like this with a big old sunbonnet on, out in the farm, weeding that garden, pulling those weeds out. And I'm going to tell you, she had a harvest. And I'm going to tell you why she had a harvest, because they would eat that food in the wintertime. Are you listening to me? And I'm going to tell you, there's a whole eternity to eat the food that you're cultivating right now. Are you listening to me? This thing is important. This is something you work on. You don't get saved 20 years ago, show up in church for an hour on Sunday, and say, I love Jesus. Forget it. You might as well join the Moose Club. It's time to, we're in the last days. Jesus is coming. We have to be ready. This is not a time, I don't care if I go for an hour today, this is not the time to be playing around with the things of God. You love the Lord and you love people. And if something's missing, repent, rebuke, and replace. Repent, rebuke, replace. Repent, rebuke, replace. That's what you do. That's the Christian life. It's a constant process. Go back to the same love you had when you were dating. Go back to the same love when you got saved. Go back to the same love when you got married. Get your act together. Christ is about loving. It's loving people where they are so you can help them to rise up. Don't compromise with the enemy. How many today, if the cockroach knocked on the door and said his car broke down, how many would let him in? We wouldn't let the cockroach in, but we let all kinds of sin and giants and junk into our life. That's 10 times worse. You see. So all I'm saying is, be honest enough to say, I don't know if I'm a Christian or not. If I looked at my life, I would almost have to say I'm not. I remember I was dating Grace. I called her up every day if I didn't, and I saw her every opportunity I had, and I was in love. I was a mess. but I was enjoying every bit of it. Hallelujah. One thing people knew that, you know, something was going on. Does people know something's going on in your life? Let's stand before the Lord.